Earlier today, we called Jim Gallipo to get his impressions of how the Furman tapes and police corruption scandals are affecting relations between gang members and cops in South Central LA, where relations were already tense. Gallipo started working as a probation officer in South Central 30 years ago during the Watts riots and has developed strong and lasting ties with many of the gang members he's worked with. Gallipo is also the vice president of the LA County Probation Officers Local 685. He's talked about his work with gangs twice before on Fresh Air. Gallipo told me the O.J. Simpson trial had no noticeable effect on relations between cops and gangs where he works until the Mark Furman tapes.
When the Mark Furman tapes came out, I mean, it just generated, you know, it just sort of drove a wedge again. I mean, I believe that LAPD has been making a concentrated effort, you know, in PR and community relations and everything since the Rodney King thing, and since, you know,
Willie Williams, the police chief.
Right, you know, when he came out to really change, you know, things around. They spent a lot of money, a lot of man hours, you know, to change the image, change the police commissioners practically, totally. And, you know, it was just depressing to see all this go down the drain behind one, you know, the rogue cop, I think is a good name for him. But see, in South Central, they don't see him as a rogue cop. So, you know, this just sort of lent credence to the negative feelings of the people toward LAPD. And then, you know, in an effort to try to really bolster things up immediately, LAPD started, you know, in essence, a cleanup campaign of their own. As they started investigating, they started finding more things. And now we've got some more officers that have been put off on suspension for falsifying police reports and allegedly falsifying police reports and this type of thing. And it's just, it's an atmosphere that scares me.
You know? What scares you about it?
It scares me because, like, the day after the last barrage, which I suspect was probably last Tuesday, I think last Tuesday the news came out about these new officers that particularly two officers who allegedly falsified reports. One of them was even a homicide investigation. And you know, now they're all of a sudden that the attorneys and the DA's office has to go through all the cases that these guys worked on for, you know, way back, to maybe have retrials and maybe to have, mitigation of sentencing and maybe even, like I say, as far as retrials go, to think about all this stuff and to think of what it's going to do to the already crowded and messed up court system in L.A. is really depressing. And I think about, you know, the officers that are out there in, you know, the thin blue line type thing where, I mean, they're down there in a combat zone, in combat gear, insulated from the community in terms of being in the police cars, and you know, I'm afraid that it's gonna get to a point. What worried me the very next day, which was last Wednesday, I believe it was, there was a shootout at a Boys Market, which is one of our larger ghetto supermarket chains. And in a parking lot of the Boys Market where a bad guy was killed, but two officers were shot and seriously wounded. And, you know, it just made me think, with the kind of tactical deployment that they would do in a situation like that, if maybe these guys didn't wait a little too long, you know, to shoot this type of thing. And, you know, these guys mostly are family men and all this type of thing, and they don't want to lose these jobs. And I get the feeling that they feel that now anything that they're living in a glass house and anything they do, you know, they're going to be jumped on and presumed guilty until proven innocent, you know.
Do you think that the Mark Furman story is making it harder for good cops to do their job in Los Angeles?
Infinitely harder.
What are some of the pressures on them now?
Well, the pressures are that, I mean, part of the thing that all of us were peace officers under what's called 832 Penal Code section in the law that carry weapons are required to qualify periodically. Like, you know, with your off-duty weapon, you have to qualify every 3 months, quarterly. And, you know, part of the training you get, it has to do with, you know, with officer safety. And one of the things that you know, has come up long ago is as far back as the Eula Love incident, where a lady with a butcher knife was shot down by LAPD officers. And, you know, everybody thought how horrendous and awful it was for this poor, you know, old lady, little black lady coming running out of her house at some armed, young, strong police officers. They couldn't wrestle with her or do something else. Well, maybe they could have. But the thing is that they show you, you know, in the scientific part of the training, that you have what you call a kill zone, is, as I recall, 15 feet. Now, that's a pretty long distance, 15 feet. But the way the nervous system works, if a person has decided to attack you, you know, they've made up their mind, they're going to attack you with a club, a knife, any type of a weapon from that distance. They can charge you, a normal person, you don't have to be an O.J. Simpson or a track star, you know, they can get to you before you can draw your weapon and shoot them and stab you to death. In a 15-foot radius. I mean, if they get inside that 15-foot radius, it's a crapshoot whether they're going to get to you or whether you're going to be able to draw your weapon and shoot them in time. So, I mean, you know, normally, you know, you see in TV and everything that they're right up next to each other and all that type of thing. Well, they don't. I mean, you know, there is a unwritten law that in law enforcement, that your primary goal, the first thing that you have to do when you come on duty is get home at night. You know, that's your primary responsibility, is to get home at night. And anything you have to do that, then you do. And, you know, there are incidents in South Central Los Angeles on a daily basis that require deadly force. And, you know, it's a situation where I would really hate to feel that this new series of officer-involved scandals is going to start making the young, you know, people who want to make it a career and who have already invested in houses and marriages and kids and cars and stuff think, well, look, I got to slow down. I can't shoot. You know, I mean, I can't afford to be thrown out on the streets with nothing but a high school education. And once you're fired from one police department, I mean, you're through.
Now, you work with young people. Most of the people you work with have been in gangs. Do any of the people you work with have any respect for the police?
Let me tell you, Terry, this is the mentality between the gangs, you know, like the real gang members and the police, and the real, I mean, the what we call the STRAC police units, the elite, the crash, which is called Concentrated Reaction Against Street Hoodlums. That's the acronym CRASH, is the gang unit of LAPD, and OSS for the Los Angeles County Sheriff, Operation Safe Streets. These are some of the best trained, youngest, you know, I mean, best physically fit, you know, win foot races, you know, and all this type of thing. These guys' mentality is so much like the gangbangers. I mean, they respect physical force, they respect physical prowess. They see you know, a certain honor in being tough and being macho and being you know, like not snitching and all this type of thing like that. And the mentality is strikingly similar. And once I, you know, one of the things I revel in doing is getting some of the tough cops together with the tough gang members and seeing how well they end up getting along. You know, and I've been able to do this in some notable situations. If my book ever gets published, I get a beautiful chapter in my book about that. and you know that I have had more than one gang member, you know, say that they wish their life could be different, you know, because they'd like to be on the other side. They would like to be in that, you know, in that black and white. They'd like to be a crash officer working with gang members because they think they'd be good, and so do I. But once you've had felony convictions and all this stuff, I mean, it's over.
Do you ever try to convince the young people that you work with to have more respect for the cops?
Always. You know, and I have, you know, almost weekly, I'll have meetings with gang members where you know, they want to blast the police and talk about the pigs did this, and this officer is particularly brutal, you know, an asshole and everything else. And I'll stop them, and I'll sit them and I'll say, okay, good, man, you guys are all bad, you guys are all tough, and you guys could all handle the situation better. How many of you think we don't need cops in the ghetto? One out of 50 might say we don't. Then how many of you would like to do their job? How many of you guys would like to cruise around in a black and white through Nickerson Gardens and Jordan Downs and Imperial Courts? These are Watts projects that are multi-story. We're going to get up on the roof and see these cars with their red and orange numbers coming in. And they can have assault weapons, and they can have hand grenades, and they can have firebombs and everything. And the police have no idea. And they have to ride around nightly through these areas waiting for the other shoe to drop.
So do you think that the young people you work with ever change their attitudes about cops?
Mm-hmm. And then again, one of the best things going is like I say, when I can get them together,
mm-hmm.
when I can get some of the really feared and active street police officers with, you know, the particularly feared and violent gang members, more often they get along than not. You know, I mean, when I can get them into an athletic deal, or I can get them into a boxing, you know, ring or some things like that, I mean, it's just amazing to see what these guys do. Like I say, in one particular situation where I got a boxing thing going, a couple of crash officers got, you know, boxed with some really tough kids from the Rolling 60 Crips. This was, you know, many years ago. And during that anyway, you know, they don't want to make the long story short. You know, they came in and the cops wanted to wear body armor and all that stuff. And I said, no, you don't need body armor to go to a rec center, you know. And so they took off their body armor and we went in and they stared at the gang members and they stared back at them. Nasty looks. And, you know, at the end they were playing basketball and talking trash to each other. And one of the cops, without telling anybody, took these kids to a very expensive all-night fishing boat in Oxnard. I mean, he probably spent $200 on a couple of these kids, taking them to Oxnard on an overnight fishing boat and didn't tell anybody. There was a conversion. These kids just really loved him, and these were tough, probably had killed people type, you know, 17-year-old gang members. They would have never got a chance to go fishing on an all-night fishing boat without somebody like that. And he didn't tell anybody.
My guest is L.A. Probation Officer Jim Gallopo. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with L.A. Probation Officer Jim Gallopo. For the past 30 years, he's worked with gangs in South Central L.A. We're talking about how the Furman tapes and police corruption scandals are affecting relations between gangs and cops. You've been a probation officer for, what, about 30 years?
Yep, 30 years.
You've worked with a lot of gang members. You've worked with a lot of cops.
Yep.
Do you think Mark Furman is at all typical of Los Angeles police?
No, I think he's a three-standard deviation person, you know. Just like the gang member who can righteously come up on you and look in the face and beat you to death. And smell your sweat and feel your blood. You know, this is a one percenter. Mark Furman's a one percenter. They're three standard deviation people. But I think they're the same way that the police and in society in general views all gang members as dangerous, antisocial psychopaths. You know, that the community, particularly the South Central LA community, views all LAPD, you know, officers being more or less like Mark Furman. And it's a mistake. That's not true.
Have you ever been in a position where you knew that a cop had behaved in a racist way, had used epithets when speaking to somebody, or had, you know, set them up or stolen money or whatever? Have you ever been with a cop when that's happened or known that it's happened? And if so, what would your reaction be? Would it be to...
Well, you did a number. You know, that was a whole lot of...
There's a long list.
Variables there.
Yeah.
Basically, what I've been involved in has been brutality. You know, I've seen officers, when I went out with them, use way more force than I felt was necessary for the situation. What have I done about it? Talk to them, you know. There are, you know, you talk about the blue code or the code of silence or whatever it
mm-hmm.
is. I suppose I fall into that enough. Now, if I would have seen them, you know, do something anywhere near as outrageous as the Rodney King thing or something like that, I would have felt it necessary to report it. And I would have reported it without hesitation. But I have seen hesitations where I've seen the situations where female officers have brutalized, and a matter of fact, female black officers have brutalized female black, suspects, and as well as males, brutalizing, male blacks. But it's just that I understand where it's coming from.
So your approach is to talk to the cop.
I try to talk to them.
And what would you tell them?
Well, basically, you're going to have to come back out here night after night after night. Now, when you do these things, persistently, continuously, habitually, they're going to be waiting for you. You're going to develop a reputation that's going to cost you. Someday, some of your car's going to break down. Someday you're going to be off in a situation where you walk around into an alley without all the proper backup you need, and there's 30 of these people or something like that, And you're much better off trying to have a communication. There is a time to use force. There's no question about it. You've got to be, they've got to be tough. They've got to be able to, show people they mean business, and that they're not to be played with or, fooled with and stuff like that. They need to have they need to be respected, and they need to be feared. And the problem is there's too much fear and too little respect.
Jim Gallipo is a probation officer who works with gangs in South Central L.A.